So welcome everybody to the December 2021 meeting of the Concept Study Group. My name is Karen. Today we are hearing a lead share from Bridget L. on Concept 12, followed by about 40 minutes of open discussion on the topic. We are now recording this meeting and we'll be sharing the audio of this meeting on acawso.org. The recording may also be referred to for the development of literature on the 12 concepts. If you choose to participate in today's discussion, please keep your shares general enough so that you are not personally identifiable. And with that, I am turning over the meeting to Bridget L. And Bridget, before you start talking about the topic, feel free to share a little bit more about yourself with us. Tell us about yourself, your recovery, and your experience with service work.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you, Karen. Thanks for inviting me today. My name is Bridget. I'm an ACA. And if someone is there, shall I time myself? That's just a question. Or is there someone? Can someone?
I can time you and I can give you a 2-minute warning if that makes it easier for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay.
So, I will say that I have been coming in a committed way to ACA for 3 years. I came to ACA 35 years ago, and I was not ready. I have trauma in my childhood, so I kept having panic attacks, and I had to do some calming down, some other kind of work first, and I'm in another fellowship that I work very strong, work a strong program, I could say in my humble opinion, but I'm going to talk about humility in a few minutes anyway. And it is through that program that I've done most above the group service, both on a service board and on a number of service committees, and have started probably 10 years ago, a legacies meeting. And so I came into ACA with a very strong belief and appreciation of how important the traditions and the concepts are. And so I've been studying them. By no means am I an expert. This is just my thoughts about it today. So that's my story. I'm the youngest of 6 children. My father, there's all sorts of stuff in my family background, and this isn't a share about that, but, and nor do I need to justify my participation in ACA, which is part of one of the principles underlying it. So when I started looking at the 12th concept, and, you know, I started to think, I had a whole bunch of words swirling around in my head. Here are some of them. And when I started to think about it, I talked about, so the concept says that the Adult Children of Alcoholics World Service Organization shall observe the spirit of the ACA 12 traditions. And the 12 traditions come out of the steps. So I want to talk just for make reference to the 12th step, which is to carry this message to those who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And then the 12th tradition goes to anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, in which we place principles before personalities. And so then you get this very condensed and meaty 12th concept And so the I thought about when thinking about this concept, what are the principles underlying it? And you know, there are a lot of words. Really, I started to look at, well, what are the principles underlying the 12 steps in ACA? Now, I could come up with my own versions of them, but I looked in the Red Book. And the Red Book has, I mean, for each step, they're double, pretty much double, not always, but powerlessness, surrender, open-mindedness, clarity, willingness, accepting help, self-honesty, courage, trust, willingness again, humility, self-forgiveness, courage, discernment, seeking and listening, love and self-love. And then when you get to the traditions, well, anonymity, my head is swirling with words, and that's not where my program, ACA program lives. It's in my heart. So I will say this, that with the 12th concept, what came up for me was focus and purpose. That the focus, that all through the steps, the traditions, and the concepts, that what gets pointed to is the focus in ACA, which is to help others who are still suffering. That is the focus. And how does that happen? Well, then you get to what is the balance between me as an individual, how I function in a group, where is my higher power, or, you know, and then I got to humility and power and who's in charge. And so I think there's a really strong, if you look at the items that are listed here, take care that the conference never becomes the seat of perilous wealth and power, that it has sufficient operating funds, ample reserve, no conference members be placed in a position of unqualified authority over any of the others, that decisions be reached by discussion and wherever possible by substantial unanimity. Like there's so much, and there's not a whole lot of discussion, it seems to me, at least in the, there's not much about the concepts, but there's not much other than a mention of responsibility and authority and respect, talking about power, who, other than framing about who makes the decisions, where does the power, or, and there is something about where is the power in ACA, and it's in the membership, which comes into the groups, which then leads up to WSO, but we bring ourselves. And so when you look at the spirit of ACA, that grounding in being, coming from the members of ACA and the groups of ACA, there is something that is, well, I'll say this, it's not what I learned as a child. The power dynamics in the family that I grew up in were such that it was about the adults, or it was about the addicts, or was about the alcoholic, or was about the person who had mental illness, or was about the events. It was never really about me or the unity of the family, or who, and decision-making never. So I came into ACA recovery and in my other program, not understanding what does it mean, anonymity. What does anonymity mean? What does it mean for me not to play the role that I was assigned or that I adopted to survive in my, the roles that I adopted to survive in my childhood? What does it mean to function in a group? What does it mean to share power? there's something in my family that you had to grab onto and hold power, as opposed to being open and willing and including everyone. And when I think about the spirit of and this concept and the spirit of ACA, there is something that is enormously freeing about having the power be shared and have the power come from the source being the members. And now I can't say that I understand very well what the collective conscience of our whole fellowship is, but I will say this, that in meetings, in various work groups, there is something that happens that is the power of the collective. And that is, can be referred to, you know, the group conscience as reflective of my higher power's will for me or the higher power's will for the group. But you have to give, have to is a funny way to say that. But when, if everyone has a voice, and if everyone is clear about what the task is and what the responsibility is and who, and this creates an environment where that is democratic in thought and action. If the potential is there, there's enormous hope. There's
2 minute warning.
Thank you. You know, in my childhood, trust, faith, and safety were non-existent or in very short supply. And so what happens to me with this concept where we I have an opportunity to practice putting into my behavior and contributing to the group, starting from a place of being humble, of being just one person. I may have expertise in some things or other, but I am just one person. And if I can be maintain balance between myself, the group, and my higher power, and stay connected through the application and practice of these principles, and even just slowing down, not pushing necessarily for a result, I'm liberated. And it creates an environment where others can be liberated. There's a lot to say about this concept. I really wanted to talk about humility and power and sharing power and being a receptacle for the will of the group, and how that plays out. I will say one last thing, that I think the structure that happens in meetings can support it, can support this, if the structure reflects the principles of the ACA program. I'm grateful to have these principles and this concept in its fullness show me another way to act other than the way that was modeled for me in my childhood. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on Concept 12, Bridget. You've given us a lot to think about today, and I really appreciate that. We're now going to open the floor for about 30, 35 minutes. Sharing will be limited to one share per person until everyone has had a chance to share. And we have 11 of us on the call. So I'm going to suggest that since we are a fairly large group, I'm going to suggest that we time ourselves and that we limit ourselves to 3 minutes per share. Please avoid crosstalk during this part of the meeting. We will be available for fellowship and Q&A after the end of the meeting. And with that, yes, and you can use the digital raise hand function to indicate that you would like to speak. Who would like to start sharing? Arjan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for this meeting. Yeah, now reading the 12 concepts again when I'm finally getting a bit more awake. Been having very heavy sleeping troubles in the past 2 years. Even more severe than all of my life before. And yeah, this is why I fell in love with the 12-step program from the very first moment I met it. When I read the 12 steps in the first meeting, the 12 traditions, and then a few months later, I stumbled upon the concepts. Yeah, this is everything I'm trying to accomplish all my life. Well, I'm bound to time by my parents who are enabled by the psychiatrist with the wrong diagnosis. But yeah, the 12 steps, tradition and concept is everything. And in the most beautiful order that can be. So yeah, really grateful for all of this. I know again now why I'm a 12-step person. Why I, yeah, it's love at first sight, and that still is. No other words, no more words I needed, I think. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for sharing, Arjan. Who would like to share next? Yasmina, please go ahead.
Hi, yes, thanks. I am going to share, and I will have to then share and drop off. I apologize as I am at a family holiday gathering. So, but I really wanted to be on this call because these concept calls are like some of my favorites. Thank you so much for your share, Bridget. It really made me think, especially, you know, the focus on sharing of power. And I kind of really resonated to something that was shared about the likeness of weight when the power is shared. And that's something, and I also like my family of origin, the power structure was very different, obviously very like just not functional. And yeah, all about adults and alcoholics and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, any kind of responsibility that comes with authority, which people equate to power, is a lot of work. And it's exhausting. And so sharing of quote unquote power, of sharing of authority and responsibility, to me, now that I've been in ACA, and I'm also very grateful to ACA for modeling that for me. It just seems the most healthy thing, because otherwise you just get exhausted. You know, like, who wants to do it forever? God, you know? And so, you know, I love that, I love that in ACA we do have rotation of service, because that, and that is so embedded in our way the concept, the way that the program is, because it just enables everyone to participate, enables also for no one to dominate. It also enables everyone's expertise and experience to be added to the collective smarts, right? And also, from personal point of view, I think it just helps from people getting exhausted. I think, you know, rotating and sharing is, to me, that's kind of a form of self-care. Because, I know for me, in my family of origin, definitely only one person was doing everything. And that slowly killed them, you know, like there is such a thing as running yourself to the ground, and when someone is not in a healthy place, I really liked what was being spoken about, how it's lighter when it's shared, and I would add here like rotational service, when it's rotating, when it's changing regularly, it's lighter and also more invigorating, because new ideas are being shared, new perspectives are being shared, new points of view are being shared. And that's life. Like, it's always changing. Things are always evolving. It's continuous flow. And that, to me, is much closer to higher powers' vision than stagnant, So that's all I kind of wanted to say. From everything that was shared, I was also thinking about rotation of service and how important that is to sharing of power, and enabling all the things that are being told in concept 12, which is like that, it never becomes like seat of, fighting for power or like dominance. It's like, it's really helpful when things are shared and when there's rotation of service. So thank you. That's all.
Thank you for sharing, Yasmina. Julianne, would you like to share?
I would, and because I'm sick, this is going to be short. The thing that always stands out for me in this particular concept is the idea that that no action ever be personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy. The thing that always brings to mind for me is that we don't make decisions behind other people's backs. We have a group conscience process where we discuss what we as a group are doing. And this does speak to dominant behavior, the power for any particular group within ACA, be it the group level, the intergroup, the regional committee for WSO or WSO itself, that there is not one person who's in charge. ACA is not run by any one person. And I know that we have committees that are looking at dominant behavior and whatnot, but I still hear horror stories of, in this Zoom environment, of people going, I don't like you, I don't want you at my meeting, and so I'm just going to bounce you out of the room, or I'm going to mute you in the middle of your share. And that's punitive, right? So it's not just WSO being punitive, it's how are we acting out our behaviors in meetings in a way that's punitive to other members? And I think that's important for us to look at. One of the things that has been so disheartening for me during the pandemic is just hearing from so many people how difficult it has been for them in meetings, because one person owns the Zoom account, right? And I've got a lot more I could say, but seriously, I am sick today, so I'm gonna stop with that. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing, Julianne. Kelly, would you like to share?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for your share, Bridget. I look at this concept. So I think I've made it to every one of these meetings this year, except for one, because of my strong desire to understand what these concepts were saying on a deeper level. And probably because I did get involved in WSO service about 3 or 4 years ago. And, there was a lot of confusion to me about, how we behave, who does what I saw going on. So this concept to me, when I look at it, it mentions WSO specifically four times. So it is talking about WSO, and I, So I'm on committees and have been on committees for the past 3 or 4 years. And, you know, it does say taking great care. I mean, the committees that are a part of WSO, you know, including the board, you know, I think we have to take great care as to who's in charge, how it's playing out, what the dynamics are, what I'm bringing to the committees. And I think it's a work in progress for you know, probably all of us. So there I am. I shouldn't be talking about others, but I do have a lot of experience in committees, and I have seen this be a struggle, and a struggle that's probably just born right out of my ACA-ness, But the only way that I see WSO, and I am speaking about the committees and the board, remaining democratic in thought and action is that everybody is allowed a voice, and WSO is a business. So there's the business, there's the fellowship, there's groups, there's the conference, and all of this has to have some organization to it. So there's got to be, you know, these committees, they have to have some responsibility to organize things so that we can carry the message to the adult child who still suffers. Therefore, there is people that are making decisions. And so we need to take great care in the decision-making process, what's going on in our committees, how we speak to each other, you know, and I've seen struggles with it, but the struggles are, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, how do we grow? We grow baby steps, one step at a time, one hand, one foot in front of the other. But this sort of pulls it all together for me about the idea of we're all in this together. And just because there are committees and there are chairs and there's a board, that doesn't mean that they have more power than the member that's just stepping in to contribute, to listen, to add to question. Those are all, you know, our rights. And being part of WSO and on the committee work has really helped me grow in that area. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you for sharing, Kelly. I'm going to share next, and I'm setting my timer. Thank you so much, Bridget. As I said earlier, this is really a lot of stuff to think about based on how you presented your own experience and your reflections on this. And one of the things that I love about this particular concept is that it really takes all of the technical terms that can be a little dry and overwhelming in the other concepts, because it talks about how is the business of WSO structured, which has a lot to do with just practicalities, legal requirements, and things like that. But then this concept really ties everything back to the traditions and the principles that have been so meaningful in my own life and recovery that come from the steps and the traditions. I really like that you emphasize that. And also sort of zeroing in on this question of how do I come to the group? How do I come to service as an individual in recovery? And how do I function in a group? And for me personally, one of the reasons the concepts have always been so meaningful is that they give me some guidelines that work better than what I learned in my very dysfunctional family, where the dysfunction was inherited from the extended family and just sort of dominoed into the immediate family I was raised in. In ways that I'm only just beginning to fully comprehend as I'm sort of doing this work of personal recovery day after day, year after year. But these guidelines that are captured in the concepts and also specifically sort of summarized in concept 12 really help me orient myself to the groups that I'm involved in a different way than what I learned in my family of origin. And a lot of that does have to do with how do I relate to people in assumed or proclaimed or actual authority. Because not everybody who claims, in my life, not everybody who claims authority over anything affecting me necessarily actually has that authority. And that's something I've had to tease apart and untangle and understand. And the concepts have helped me with that. The last thing I want to say is that I really appreciate sort of that you talked about participation here, the humility of participating as an individual member. And that takes me right back to concept 4, which in the ACA version says, throughout our structure, we maintain at all responsible levels a traditional right of participation. And I can, in ACA, I can piece it together from the other concepts. In Al-Anon, which was the first place I encountered the concepts in, it is so much clearer and so much more simply stated in concept 4, which just states participation is the key to harmony. And what that tells me is that I don't just have the right to participate. I have the responsibility to participate. And if I have something to share, if I have a particular experience that other people may not be aware of, if I have a particular perspective that other people might not be aware of, it is my responsibility to bring that to the table and to participate with that view, with that experience. And that to me is another part of shared responsibility and shared authority, because if I'm not fully participating because I'm withholding some part of me, some particular experience, some particular view, then I'm not fully participating. And my time is up, so I'm gonna stop right here. Thank you for letting me share. And I'm gonna call on Josh next.
I'm gonna time myself, but how long?
3 minutes.
Got it. Okay, let me start. Okay, start it. Bridget, thank you. That's great. All right, I got a lot out of it. I think you really, well, a couple things. Okay, so for me, I've always, of all the concepts, for some reason, just due to, I guess, my particular makeup or whatever, I have always been drawn to concept 12 the most. And I've always been drawn particularly to the, I'm pulling it up, the thing about the like the fellowship of adult children of alcoholics, which it serves, WSO itself will always remain democratic in thought and action. It's always been like where I'm just like, bing! And and I think, you know, I heard there's a lot going on and a lot of different themes, but one thing I heard in your lead that I think is a great way to pull it all together is what you said. It's about power and power sharing. And I know in my family, it was definitely, it was dominance all around. And it was like fights for who was going to be dominant in which contexts. And it wasn't always the same person, but there was always this kind of struggle of who's going to kind of thing. And I think in a way, this is about like, well, how does, I'll speak for myself, how do I get myself out of that framework? Mm-hmm. Like there is another way. and I think, I mean, one thing that I've been thinking of lately, which is like beyond just the borders of 12-step programs, but like this fundamental question of like, what is legitimate authority? And I think there's a series of tensions that I'm gonna wrap up here that I think are very interesting. So we have like inverted pyramid, you know, it's like the fellowship creates the WSO. And then some authority is delegated to that body to do certain things, and other things are left to the full conference. And what is not clear to me is like where that delineation is and maybe how to make that clearer. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Josh. Would anybody else like to share? We have about 10 minutes left to the top of the hour. John, please go ahead.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you for the lead, Bridget. So my introduction to the service structure of 12 steps was in the Grandparent Fellowship. I came into that 12-step fellowship, let's just say I wasn't on a winning streak. And so my sponsor at the time invited me to what he called an eating meeting. And we got there, and it wasn't the holidays, and I saw the parking lot full of people carrying in food. And I said, my goodness, what's this all about? And he says, we're putting on the tradition skit. And by the way, you're the politician. And so I was very new in recovery and scared to death. But today I can look back on that and say, my gosh, am I so grateful that I was volunteered. Left to my own devices, I would have been reticent, and I would have thus cheated myself out of learning new concepts, new ways to live that did not simply mirror the behaviors that I was under tyranny of as a child. The thing about this concept that strikes me the most is the seed of perilous wealth and power. And I was told by my service sponsor in the other fellowship, I said, okay, I'm a rodeo clown. What is this 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts? And I still hold on to the fact that he said that steps protect us from ourselves, the traditions protect us from each other, and the concepts protect us from the world. And at a world service level, seats of perilous wealth and power can be very easily, that's the way the world runs, but it can very easily become antithesis to a very important principle on reining that in. And that's the power of the purse. And if they collect enough to where that, in essence, eliminates the power of the purse, abuse of power goes unreined. So I appreciate, you know, and when I was growing up, I didn't have the power of the purse. I was a child. So anyway, glad to be here and thank you all for sharing. And I appreciate the eye openings I get from this. With that, I pass.
Thank you for sharing, John. Would anybody else like to share? Arjan, please go ahead.
If I might come in for a second share. It's also about the concepts in general, 12 steps in general. As a child, I also studied some books on etiquette and protocol from before the Second World War. I just can say, no, not all of those books combined can match the 12-step programs. They are based on wealthy white male domination, and that's severely outdated. That's not how they, from before that Second World War, when those books were common, was created. modern day books on etiquette and protocol still can't match it, as our society as a whole still is struggling with what equality, inclusion actually is. But in the 12 steps, we already have that. In the 12 traditions, we have that. In the concept, we have that. So, yeah, I think we are very lucky for this wonderful program. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing, Ariane. Would anybody else like to share? Well, it seems like we've heard from everybody who would like to comment on concept 12. I'm going to do one final call for a share.
This is Kelly. I would like to say one last thing.
Kelly, please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's dawned on me, and it's dawned on me before, but it's dawning on me even more right now, maybe because we're on the 12th concept with me, which, you know, to me kind of pulls a lot of ideas together. That's part of the importance of educating members of the concepts, well, not part of, probably all of it, is that members do start to understand that people aren't in charge. Members do start to have the information and the knowledge to say, well, wait a minute. Members do have the back to knowledge, to know that if there are certain behaviors that are in the arena of perilous power and wealth, et cetera, that they do have the right to address that. And so this information, to me, needs to be gotten out there. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Kelly. All right, one more call for final thoughts. Josh, please go ahead.
Yeah,
Josh, I think you're mute.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. This may be something that ends up going into the business section, but I'm identifying with what I just heard that, I think this is, frankly, this is an education exercise. I'm interested to discuss what could be done in a proactive way to get this information out, maybe above and beyond just this meeting, although I think this particular meeting is great and I will be here whenever I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. So we're 3 minutes from the top of the hour. That gives us time for one more share if anybody would like to comment some more. Or we can also use Josh's share as a good segue into the business portion of the meeting. And I want to thank Bridget for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on Concept 12 with us today, and everybody who was here and participated in the discussion. I'm going to stop the recording.